Right now on VFN TV, Pastor Saeed, who was in Iranian prison for over 3 years, has been released. We'll be talking about that. You'll be hearing a report from his family. Also, a missionary, Mike Redinger, has been killed in Burkina Faso, Africa. Our hearts just go out. We have a report on it. Also, we're going to be talking about what is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's response to this, Iranian deal that just took place. Join us right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5 second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can come through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We are so honored that you have joined us in our audience. We just really feel like we're just getting in a relationship with each other. We believe the Lord's just going to begin to communicate things that we need to know in the time that we need to know it. But the first thing we want to talk about is celebrating what you heard us talk about for quite some time. We've been praying about, maybe you've been praying about it as well. But Pastor Saeed, who was in prison in Iran for building orphanages and house churches there for over 3 years, was just released. As a matter of fact, take a look with me.
After more than 3 years in captivity in Iran, where he was imprisoned and tortured, American pastor Saeed Abedini is a free man, and he's right now on his way home to the United States.
Abedini was originally arrested for his work among Iran's house churches. He was one of the Americans who was set free in a prisoner swap with Iran, along with a reporter for the Washington Post and a former Marine. George Thomas has that story.
Pastor Saeed Abedini and two other Americans are making their way home, one step closer to reuniting with their families.
I've been a single mom for 3.5 years, and the kids, uniting with them, I think, will be a precious moment.
In an exclusive interview just hours after her husband's release, Abedini's wife, Nagme, described to CBN News the moment when she told her two children, Rebecca and Jacob, that their father was coming home.
They were jumping up and down, rejoicing. It was very loud, very joyful, and I could see a heavy weight lifted off their little shoulders.
For the Abedini family, it has been 3.5 grueling years of advocacy and lots of prayer.
Outside of my faith in Jesus Christ, I'm so thankful for the millions who prayed, who trusted God with me, who did not give up, who would send me messages and letters saying, we're not giving up, we have not forgotten him.
The American Center for Law and Justice worked for Abedini's freedom. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow called his release a God moment.
Because as much as our lawyers work really hard and our teams around the globe work really hard, there were, as you said, George, millions of people praying from probably as many languages as there are people groups. And those prayers were answered. God supernaturally intervened, and we have the release of the Americans.
The dramatic events happened over the weekend when Iran agreed to free 5 American hostages in exchange for several Iranians accused or convicted of violating U.S. sanctions. Within hours of the prisoner swap, Iran joined the global economy for the first time in decades after the U.S. and EU agreed to lift sanctions following confirmation that the regime had kept its part of a nuclear deal signed last year, although the president did impose some new sanctions because of Iran's recent missile tests. But he praised the prisoner exchange.
And perhaps most important of all, we've achieved this historic progress through diplomacy, without resorting to another war in the Middle East.
The freed Americans include Washington Post reporter Jason Razian, former U.S. Marine Amir Hekmati, Nosratullah Khosravi, and Matthew Trevithick. Not among those coming home is former FBI agent Robert Levinson, who disappeared in Iran in 2007. Abedini, Razian, and Hekmati are now at a U.S. military hospital in Germany, undergoing medical checkups before making the final journey home. George Thomas, CBN News.
This is such an exciting day that we got to be able to celebrate this. As you know, we talked about it. You remember Boise, Idaho. If you're with us, we talked about it when the president met with his wife and said that we would begin to do something about it. And a lot of you, and we joined in writing the president, thanking him for standing up. And it took a year. The witness is Jay Sekulow, where he's saying it's been over a year we've been negotiating that. And I just thank God for Jay Sekulow. As you know, they're part of what we're doing here every single day. His son, I forget his son's name right now, but they just worked tirelessly to be able to free him. They treated him worse and worse over over three years, putting him deeper and deeper back in the prison, and it looked like it wasn't going to happen. But God freed Pastor Saeed from this Iranian prison. This is just a wonderful day of celebration and what God is doing. Thank you for your prayers. We should just thank God for it and just begin to remember them in this transition after being under that kind of pressure for so long and being told to deny your faith for so long and being treated so badly, putting in with the worst prisoners he was put with while he was just building orphanages. He was just building orphanages, and he was had a network of house churches that he was going. By the way, the church in Iran is just really just exploding in growth. It's exciting to hear some of the reports. We had it on before. Our program is George Sekulow, by the way, that began to start this story and began to go with it to where the whole firm, you know, ACLUJ, took it on and began to work to free him and negotiate. So it took a year of negotiations to be able to free him. We're excited. We thank God for that. And it reminds us, we don't want to just give up, because we're seeing the persecuted church take persecution of Christians all over the world. And sometimes it's once the press cycle finishes up on, you know, talking about what's going on, people think it's over. And it's like, no, they just talked about it for 2 weeks, but the person's still in prison. His wife was faithful to keep a torch out there burning for her husband and praying and believing God. And she spoke truth to power to the president. She stood before the White House with Jay Sekulow. And it's just amazing what she has done. Just an awesome wife. And we're excited about their family coming back together. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about a tragic death of a missionary. A tragic death of a missionary that took place in Burkina Faso, Africa, and it'll break your heart. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We have some tragic news. Tragic news. There was a radical Islamic attack in Burkina Faso, Africa, in the capital there, where 28 people were killed. And one of them was Mike Rittering, mm-hmm. who was a missionary there sent from the church to. It just breaks your heart. But I want you to see, when you see right here from a cell phone, this is amateur cell phone, taking picture of what's taking place, realize that 28 people are about to be killed in Burkina Faso, Africa, by radical Islamic terrorists.
Wow.
And but radical Islam. And one of them is Mike, the missionary that's building orphanages and there to help out. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But realize when you're seeing this from a distance in this phone, this phone video, you're seeing firsthand that's what's taking place. And it just needs to stop. And it's just so sad to see what took place. But 28 died in this attack, and Mike Rittering, the missionary that's been there for about 5 years now, he lost his life there too as well. Let's take a look.
Voilà. Splendide, un feu. Actuellement, ils sont à Cappuccino. Ça, c'est splendide en live. Semblerait qu'ils aient mis le feu à une voiture à Cappuccino. Je me déplace avec beaucoup de discrétion. Voilà la voiture. Ouais. Et les voitures brûlées. Franchement, j'ai pas cœur pour m'approcher plus que ça. Mais bon, on va essayer. Waouh. On est exposé même.
You just saw a radical Islamic attack in Burkina Faso, Africa, where 28 people lost their life, and one of them is missionary Mike Rittering. This is tragic. It's just so tragic.
Wow.
And it's radical Islam. It's radical Islam. We talk about the numbers are estimated at 300,000 radical Islamists across the world.
330 million.
I mean, 330 million. Sorry, 330 million.
Which is about 10 to 15% of
the 1.3 million.
Correct.
Billion.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's like we, you know, this is just. It's tragic. I want you to see, as I'm telling you a little bit about Mike and his wife and their work there. I want you to see who this is. I mean, I don't know if you can see it right now. You got? Mm-hmm. You have it up?
Yeah.
I want you to see. Now, he was sent there. That's Mike right there with his wife and the children. But he was sent there by his church in Hollywood Community Church. It's Hollywood Community Church from Florida, South Florida. He's been there for 5 years, and they went there to be able to build and sustain orphanages and to be help out with those that have been hindered and hurt in regards to family and relationship. There he is. I mean, look at that.
Wow.
You know, and it's just so sad. I mean, this is a huge hit. It's not just a huge hit for his family, but for the whole families that he was impacting in the capital there. And the enemy is just filled with hate. So if you hear anybody that says radical Islam, there's nothing wrong with it. Look what all these kids that will not be impacted because of what they did in killing this missionary right here. As a matter of fact, I want us to go right now and hear the latest report from CBN. Take a look.
I received a text message about 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon from Amy stating, Brian, I just got this phone call from Pastor Valentine asking us to pray. I don't know what's going on. Please pray. Then the phone went dead. After Pastor Valentine made that statement, the phone went dead. And for some 20 hours, Mike's condition was unknown, and Mike was unaccounted for. We didn't know where Mike was. The embassy didn't know where Mike was. They were frantically searching for him. Yesterday afternoon at 1 p.m. our time, Amy contacted me, and simple statement. She said, Brian, Mike is with Jesus. That was her way of communicating to us that Mike had passed away.
I think what Brian says is very important. Many people might see this as, hey, let this be a lesson. You got to be more careful. And absolutely, security is a top concern for us. We want to do everything safe. But actually, our messages have been to both churches have been, hey, this is an example of sacrificing greatly to help the hurting. Mm-hmm. And that's a legacy we intend to continue at both of our churches, because that's the legacy that Jesus Christ left.
We feel that Mike was a modern-day martyr who lost his life doing the work of Jesus, doing what he felt like God had called him to do. And we will greatly miss him. Mike was not only one of our missionaries, he was not only a church member, but Mike was my friend and my good friend. And we're going to miss him.
Wow.
So sad. I mean, just this ripple effect of, and who does your life impact?
Yeah,
you know,
huge.
Take a man of God, a woman of God, and we're talking about somebody who's just basically, when you say woman of God, man of God, you're not talking about some perfect person. You're talking about somebody who said yes to Jesus, went and began to make changes for the better in lives of others through the power of the gospel. And the ripple effect of that is going to be tragic.
Huge.
Yeah.
And you know what a way to go. You know, we all have to pass away. We're all going to die.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's the other side of this. But to understand,
and he is to be as for the body is to be present with the Lord.
Present with the Lord. Yeah. You know, we can only be that lucky that we can die doing the work of the Lord. I'm sure that heaven is rejoicing and Mike is rejoicing.
Yeah, he's looking down. Yeah.
Yeah, but we're sad because we lose, you know, an awesome person who contributed so much.
Well, imagine being one of these children in the orphanage.
Yeah,
orphan.
Now what?
I'm an orphan.
Yeah.
You know, and my father has gone now.
Yeah. And maybe Mike be a seed.
Yeah.
That it was planted, that many more missionaries now will feel the call to finish the work.
I want to challenge you even now. Maybe God's calling you into the mission field. You know, maybe, you know, that's you're thinking, you know, I wanted to be there. I didn't know it was possible, but Mike's been doing it for 5 years with
his
wife. And what he did was they got sent out by a church or connected and rightly related to a body of believers. And they're the ones that probably brought substance to them and what they're doing on the field. But it reminds me, too, of the Moravians, John. Let's talk about the Moravians who were, you know, they had a 24-hour prayer that took place for 100 years.
Yeah.
And out of that prayer birthed America, really.
Yeah, sure did. Amazing. Count Zinzendorf was, he's known as the rich man who said yes. He had a wealthy estate, and he just dedicated all to the Lord, and the Moravians settled on his property, and they just went after God. You know, they were just, you know, really people of prayer.
Right.
And what's really amazing is the story of two young Moravians that decided that they were going to sell themselves as slaves. There was a slave owner. I believe he had about 300 slaves on his property. He said no man would ever.
It's like an island where nobody could get to that.
Yeah. Well, he said he would never allow not one person ever to come to his island to speak,
to teach,
know,
them
teach
about
Jesus.
Reading, writing, yeah, Jesus, anything. God, freedom.
And so the only way to reach these people group, which were slaves, was to sell themselves into slavery, and the man wouldn't even.
So pay. Their mission, so many people are saying, I'm waiting for enough money. I'm waiting for the stars to align.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for 17 verifications.
Right.
But they just sold themselves into slavery.
That's it. That's it.
China's doing that right now across the world.
Wow.
They're working in the Middle East. Chinese Christians are selling themselves, are just giving this, showing up in the Middle East and saying, you know, yeah, I will be your servant in hopes that they may win somewhere.
Yes.
That's what
Chinese
Moravians,
Christians.
Yeah, Chinese Christians are doing this. And you think about it, they started, the Moravians were part of that
They started modern missions. I mean, yeah. It was amazing. In fact, when they came to America, there's a story about John Wesley being on the boat, and the boat was about to go down. It was a major, major storm. Everybody right. was just in panic. And he found that these people, they were so calm. And he thought in his own mind, you guys must not know what's going on.
We're
going
to die here.
We're
going
to die here.
They're coming to America.
Down.
Yeah, yeah.
And the peace of God on their lives was so amazing. He wound up giving his life to the Lord, and he was a pastor going to do a work.
Yeah. They didn't know
in
God.
In America, didn't know God.
Can you believe a pastor doesn't know God?
Imagine that.
What are you talking about? And so, but I heard he came back. Once he found the Lord, he wanted to go back to those Moravians yeah. and tell them. But, you know, getting back to these young missionaries that wanted to reach this people group mm. who were slaves, and the only way to get to them is to become a slave.
Yeah.
You know, Paul said, I became all things to all people that I might win a few. So what was it like in their departure when they were leaving with their families?
Wow, amazing. So,
because you're going as a slave. You're like, I'll be back in for summer vacations.
Yeah, no.
I'll fly
not
in. Temp-
this is not a temporary
hiatus.
Mission trip. This was
no,
a mission
this is not
life.
2 weeks. Yes.
Yeah, this is a mission life, yeah. dedicated, lifers as they call them. Mm-hmm. And so they're leaving the ship. They entrusted their, because they had families. They entrusted their families to the mm-hmm. community of believers, which is so powerful. Think about that.
Well, I got wife and kids. I can't be a missionary.
Yeah, not these guys.
Or you got to take your wife and kids with you on this mission trip.
Yeah, no. They left their family behind.
We've Americanized this whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, we sure have.
And I hear China's church, based on a prophetic word from Rick Joyner, I believe it is, the Morningstar Ministries, the church there is going to kind of filter out all the stuff that we've added to the church, these have-tos and stuff.
Wow.
But the Moravians were just pure, whatever God says. And the Chinese church is
well,
doing
let me
that
tell
too.
You a story yeah. about the Chinese church. That was amazing yeah. after a prayer meeting. But right. this family, so they leave the family to the community of believers that were left behind, and they're leaving the ship, and all of a sudden you can hear the crying, you can hear
so
the wails.
Let's paint this picture, though. So you have these two missionaries that just now are slaves.
Or selling, they're leaving, they're on a boat to
yeah,
be slaves.
To be yeah. slaves. And this boat's gone, and it's not coming back.
No, not with them, at least.
There is no aeroplanes to yeah. bring you back. You know, this is they're gone. This
yeah.
is it.
Yeah.
And so imagine that feeling of, this is it.
It's
I'll
over.
See you in heaven.
Yeah.
They believed in eternity.
Yeah.
Imagine if we begin to believe in eternity again.
Wow.
The church is living for now, and you're so disappointed because all you think about is now and your 401k and your job and your stuff and your things. But look at the Moravians who are living for eternity.
Yeah.
And so here they are. They're not going to see each other again until in heaven.
Heaven.
And so this boat's about to pull off, and what's going
on? One of the guys jumps up on the edge of the boat and raises his hand and says, "May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering." Mm. That was his goodbye. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering.
Wow.
And that's what it's all about. You know, it's all about Jesus receiving his
reward.
So
his service was an offering. Because what else can I do? The whole, our lives are just like gratitude for everything he's done.
That's it.
But if we live our life for ourselves and not for others like they were doing, then it's really not gratitude.
No, not at all.
And it makes me think about this. I mean, you study the Moravians' missionary plan. They would realize, if somebody went out there in the mission field, and they did often, and they died in the mission field, they didn't celebrate, make a hero out of that particular missionary.
Yeah.
They actually had a replacement just set in place to go back and replace them.
Normal.
They didn't, you know, we have a way of tendency of just, celebrate. We want to celebrate the person, but we don't want to make them an idol and a hero and that type of thing, because they're standing in the presence of God going, please don't do nothing.
Exactly.
It's all about him. But they would replace missionaries continually. You think about it. I mean, today is so tamed compared to the way it was back then. So when you went to the mission field, and life expectancy, was it like 40 years old, 45, something of that nature?
Yeah.
It was very, very low. And, I mean, you get a cut and you die from it because there's no penicillin yet and all these different things that we take now. So you were giving your life.
These are young men, too. They're like maybe 16, 17 years old that left.
But if you live to 40, you're already at that 50% of your life mark right there.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be a young, vibrant
person. That's right.
Unless maybe the Lord's calling you.
Hey,
yeah,
you
never know. Well, I just want to say this, that our hearts go out to Mike's family and all the 28 that lost their lives there. This happened why, you know, America just went about our normal business, and why politicians debated on stage about who's going to be the leader. And, you know, one of our ministers, this related to us, you know, Sharon Holderbaum, her sister and her husband are missionaries right there in that area. And she didn't even know. I mean, they knew, her sister knows Mike and his wife. But didn't even know if it was going to be her family that was taken out there.
Wow.
This is a very tough place to minister. You know why? Radical Islam. You know who did it? Radical Islam. If you move the radical part, it's Islam. People say Islam is a peaceful religion. It's not. It's not. If you a radical, this is a radical Christian. A radical Christian is a Moravian.
Yeah.
A radical Christian is somebody who reads what God says, believes what he says, gives their life to him, and then does what he says. They would call that person a radical Christian. They would say, calm down, everything's, you know, just relax, be lukewarm like the rest of us, right? Mm. And somebody would say, he's too radical, she's too radical. So somebody who's a radical Islamist, if they're reading their scriptures that they have in the Quran and they're doing it, you can't say that Islam's peaceful. You can't say that. You know, if radical means they're just following and heeding to the Quran, you got to say they're just you know, taking
fully committed.
They're taking their religions more serious than the other. And every particular Muslim's not a radical. They're not following wholeheartedly the Quran, right. I guess you would say right there. And as a matter of fact, before we go to break, I want you to hear King Abdul talk about what's really going on, because there's a reformation taking place even in Islam. And he basically says they're all the same. All these radicals are the same because they're taking their religion. They're doing all these different things with it. But this is King Abdul of Jordan. This has been a friend of America for quite some time. And his very existence and his nation's existence is in threat right now because of this very threat that's going on. Listen to King Abdul and what he says on this interview right here.
I've said that the war against the Khawarij, the outlaws of Islam, is a third world war by other means, which is probably slightly different. And how I've explained it, it's not just ISIS. All these groups, whether from the Philippines or in Indonesia all the way to Mali, these are all the same, whether it's ISIS, Boko Haram, Shabab, Al-Nusra, wherever you find them around the world, and again, as I said, from Asia all the way to the African continent, there is either a full-out war or counterinsurgency warfare. This is a global struggle that brings, as I've said many times, Muslims, Christians, Jews, other religions fighting alongside us as we fight our civil war inside of Islam.
That's a Muslim telling you firsthand that it's all the same. These radicals are all the same. You see a civil war taking place within Islam, and he's saying we need help from America and the rest of the world, but we got to deal with this thing. And we just pray for the salvation of King Abdul and his wife, and Jordan, and protection and wisdom. But also pray for comfort over the family of lost, with Mike and the other 28 Rittering, that lost their lives, Rittering. And our hearts go out to you. We have an offer for you right here. We're going to go to break and join us after the break. We're going to be talking about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet's response to this deal that was just cut in Iran. We have an offer for you. It is a very, very important offer. It's offer 2001, and it's entitled One Thing in 2016, Learning the Key to Success, Prosperity, and Peace, No Matter What or Who Comes Your Way in 2016. This is so important because there's good things happening and there's bad things happening. There's going to be worse things happening and greater things happening. It's going to be happening simultaneously. And David, King David, prior to being king, I mean, he had a lunatic government after him, King Saul. He was trying to attack him, and all he was doing was his job description. God had called him to do what he's doing, but yet the armies were coming against him. I mean, what would be on your mind? Well, what was on David's mind, he said, one thing I desire, one thing I want. And he's talking about, you know, the Lord, focusing on the Lord. And this is really going to encourage you. This is all put together to be able to encourage you. For any amount whatsoever, you can partner with VFN TV. We want to get this to you right away. We can get you a DVD, or we can send it to you, or you can watch it, you know, online. But it is so important. You need to think about, I'm going to set my gaze upon the Lord in 2016. And guess what? He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I mean, he'll just take care of you. David is a prime example of that. As a matter of fact, all you got to do is go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on Partner Now, or you can call 844-408-3688, or you can write to VFNTV Studios at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505.
Do it now. Offer 2001, one thing in 2016, learning the key to success, prosperity, and peace, no matter what or who comes your way.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Is it true that public schools are required to offer a religious elective for children in the public schools?
It's not required, Sandy, that they offer an elective. They are allowed to offer electives such as Old Testament courses, New Testament courses, religious history courses, the comparative religion courses, you know, Christian ethics courses. Those can be offered. And teaching courses in the history of religion, that would be constitutional, because the Supreme Court, in a number of its decisions involving school prayer, actually said that teaching the Bible as a form of a secular-based curriculum, whether it be for history, art, literature, was completely constitutional and not violating the law. What you need to do is go to your school board and say, we'd like this as an option. And most school boards understand now that they can do that without running afoul of the Constitution.
To learn about a student's right to free speech in school, visit our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Here we are. Yes, VFN-TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN-TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. If you missed us talking about the Moravians, they are a special seed for this nation.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about VFN Kingdom Business. We're building it around the understanding of the Moravians. And it's time for us to get busy about the Father's business. And the Father's business, God, the Father's business, authority that we have to do this is through His Son and in the name of Jesus. And as He was sent, Jesus sent us to do what He did and even greater things than He's done. And, you know, I think quite often you see people trying to go backwards at trying to change a nation where, you know, let's first win it over politically and then let's start to get everybody to be Christians.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, you win a nation by winning a nation's heart, you know, by sharing with them the love of God and, you know, the word evangelism, you know, going out and having a testimony, knowing Jesus, spending time with them so that when you are with them, people go, this man, this woman's been with Jesus.
That's right.
And the Lord loves them, and He will work with you confirming, you know, your witness to this particular person, and they become a believer, and they just may happen to be a senator. They may happen to be a school board member. They may happen to be a business owner that shifts that entire business, that shifts that corporation, that shifts that school board or that county or that state. But it seems that the church has turned towards, you know, the opposite way of doing that.
Laws that try to, you know, laws basically control behavior. And so the laws have a penalty. If you break the law, then the consequences causes people that, you know, act a certain way or don't do certain things. And so if we're going to have a Christian nation, not because we have behavior modification, but we'll have a Christian nation because people that are Christians in this nation, you know, they're growing and there's more of them. And so we can't control behavior. What we can do, you know, is help people transform their hearts. You know, talk to them about a king.
Well, people aren't a Christian because you say, you're going to be a Christian.
Yeah. You're going to live by these Christian principles.
Does that work?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Inside joke. So we cannot look at America and say, you're a Christian nation. You know, there was one particular man, I'm not going to bring up his name right now, but, you know, he has a very aloof father and unresponsive, doesn't communicate. I'm sure none of you guys have a father like that. They have lockjaw. It's almost like men have lockjaw. It's like unmanly to be able to say things like, I care about you. I love you. God has good things in store for you, whatever. So all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, his father says something. He says, you know, this is years ago. His father says, you know, I love you. And so the son says,
did he pass out?
No, the son says, well, act like it. Yeah. Right. And the thing about it is, if we truly love God, if we're a Christian, that Christian nation means we love God.
Mm.
We've accepted Christian stands for Christ follower. So it's, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, which means we follow Christ. We don't look like a Christian nation. We don't act like a Christian nation. And it's the church that doesn't look like it. I mean, we're looking at an article before we came on the air today that a church in Taiwan's building, they're building to look like a woman's shoe, right?
It's already built. Yes.
It's a woman's shoe. Maybe you can see this thing.
To attract the women to the church. And crazy. This is crazy times we're living in. And it's just unbelievable.
You have it? And take a look at that. You got to see this. This is not becoming a Christian nation. This is the opposite way of doing that thing. Take a look at this.
云馆处长7号受访时首次对外表示, 保证农历春节前开放参观, 将成为嘉义沿海春节的新亮点。
So you're looking at the church. And look at this. The church building is built like a woman's shoe. I mean, think about this.
That's what
the whole thing is that, you know, we're worried about the outside of the cup instead of the inside of the cup. That is so irrelevant.
Completely.
The outside of our lives, the outside of our existence, the outside of our homes. And look at this, a crystal shoe to be able to attract women. And by the way, that concept has been marketed by America.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, just like you've heard quite often on our program that the church came to America to become an enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And building like it is not acting like it. I mean, how many fathers, you know, say, I'm providing for you. You can pull that down. Then, you know, a father says, you know, I'm providing for you. And they're rude and they're cocky and they're short and all this kind of stuff. But they're not loving. They're not kind.
Mm.
And he's just saying, listen, I built you a glass zipper. You know, you got a glass zipper over your head. You know, I'll drive you around.
Yeah.
Bruh. And but the children and the wives are going like, we don't feel love. We just don't feel love.
Yeah.
And that's the church in America. It's like, you know, we're building things. Let me build you something. I remember we're doing walking out the Malachi mandate with the prophecy, going in the wilderness with hundreds of times thousands of fathers and sons and fatherless sons and mentors. People would always show up. And what they wanted to do, that it was helping us, they wanted to manage what we had. But nobody in America, what people struggle with is how to add to what is there.
Oh, yeah. Can I come teach?
Yeah, no, right. No, I need to tell all you. No. So one particular man that he said he wanted to help out. And we had like 70 leaders at a time. Oh, yeah. It took 70 to be able to do it. And he was going to be over the mentors.
Hmm.
And his job was going to be able to help coordinate the mentors and that type of thing. So basically,
I've done this over 10 years. So
yeah, 10
different
years.
People have held this position.
Oh, yeah. So it's not you. Or maybe it could have been. I don't know. More said no than yes. This particular person said yes.
Yeah.
Just didn't know what he was saying yes to. And so he said, you know, just gather them all together and I'll talk to them. And I was like, no, first you got to go find these mentors.
Yeah.
You know, we had to get, you know, 250 mentors or something for these boys.
Late night calls.
Late nights, looking over rap sheets and all these different things. Like, oh, yeah, this is not that bad. You know? And God's called us to add to affect other people's lives. And we bought into a mindset in America, you know, we need to be like, you know, Mike and his wife, you know, over in Africa, where they're going, I'm going to go impact these kids. And imagine how powerful it is. You know, I was just talking to a particular Chinese missionary just before the program today. And, you know, they ran all the foreigners basically out of China, and they're not letting them teach there now. But he's not worried about it. You know why? Because he poured his life into the students and the young people and raised them up to be teachers.
Mm.
That's the thing. We have to pour our lives out into other people's lives. It's not about us. If our life ends and we never built a relationship, we never connected with anyone, we were abrasive to everyone, and we wouldn't let anybody connect, we wouldn't let the egg of possibility just seize up against the womb of opportunity to be able to do what God wanted to do. We just kind of kept it focused on ourselves. And that's where America is today. When you think about it, I mean, that it's almost like, you know, it's a spirit of abortion over any possible birth of anything.
Mm.
And over how many abortions since
1950 plus million
abortion. And, but it's like everything that if it were, this is probably it. This is it. When it's about other people, John, that means I get left out.
Mm.
People aren't patting me on the back all the time.
Yeah.
I may spend my whole life, you know, of waiting like the Moravian missionaries for my reward in heaven, but I won't get it here on earth. And very few people are willing to live for delayed gratification in heaven. They want everything now. And Jesus says, Word of God says that if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. Everything you're going to get is going to be now. But the ones who are willing to lay down your life, there's nothing more important than to raise, do the best you can of raising a family that loves God. I mean, it's their choice what they're going to do, how you do it, but at least give them the opportunity.
Yeah, give them the chance.
Give them the chance or to affect a community, affect a company, that, or go and affect other children like this couple in Africa. They're these orphaned in a difficult land. And it's like, you know what? We have to be willing to do that. The Moravians' mission statement was this, and this is our mission statement for VFN Kingdom Business. Was in the essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love.
Mm.
And there are some things, has to happen. But there's a lot of things we've added to the church, in America especially, that's being exported. We're now in China. Taiwan, I meant. That's not happening.
No.
They're breaking crosses off churches in China. But in Taiwan, that's an exported American concept. I mean, if you trace that back, that's the DNA of a crystal cathedral in some place that somebody thought they had to be able to have, where they're spending $1.3 million for a church plant somewhere, or $1.3 million per baptized believer.
Believer, yeah.
And millions of dollars for a church plant. And so somebody like these Moravians, they would go looking at America and they think, well, I can't be a missionary. I can't do anything for God. I don't have $1.3 million. What if two people get baptized?
Mm.
That's $2.6 million.
That's right.
And it's just not true. It's just not true. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking and hearing firsthand. Again, we didn't get a chance to get to it this part, but the next part we're going to get to. What does Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet think about this Iranian deal that President Barack Obama just cut with Iran, sealing the deal on Monday?
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story, with God in the middle of it, as he has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste.
and you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too, to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This huge deal was just signed by our president.
Yeah, implemented.
It got all kind of hazed because of something, a side thing that had nothing to do with that, which was we were very excited about the freeing of the American innocent hostages. But that had nothing to do with this deal. It's like the deal got put
on the same day,
had it all worked out to be able, like, you know, such Solinsky, like, but here Israel is, I mean, CNN, I just heard, GPS, CNN, I can't think of his name right now. He has a program on, CNN, and he is a very intelligent man, very smart man. And, it's not coming to me right now, but he was talking about how people get radicalized. And you're thinking, oh, this is good. He's talking about it, you know? And he started explaining that it was people in America who are on social media who put a false story up on about him on social media, and then people start liking it and spreading it.
Wow.
And he said it wasn't true, you know? And I'm thinking, like, that's CNN's been doing that for years.
Yeah, hello.
As a matter of fact, CNN just did it reportedly with Israel. They just put Israel, a map of Israel up on their website without Israel being, a map of the Middle East there, without Israel even being there.
Mm.
They called it Palestine, and they had Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine. So CNN, wow. It's like they're tasting of what we all been tasting of for quite some time, because they've been doing that to Christians. They've been doing that to Jews. But the big thing is that what does this deal mean to Israel? What is this deal that our president cut? And you remember, I don't know if you've ever seen Angry Birds. We had a segment on called Angry Birds, but our presidents, the faces and the looks that he gave, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, I mean, just angry at him and minimalized him.
When it comes to Israel, on a lot of issues, but in particular when it comes to Israel, anything that this administration says positive towards Israel, you can almost switch is going to complete opposite.
Right.
But one of the things the Secretary of State John Kerry says is that the Middle East and Israel will be safer, and they're not going to be safer.
I know that from a prophetic dream the Lord gave me, but I want you to see this is their reaction to the deal that our president led, because the world doesn't do anything unless America leads, as our president said. And so he led this deal. Let's listen to them now.
Israel says even though the nuclear deal with Tehran has been implemented, Iran must not be trusted.
the whole international community will have to be extremely watchful and extremely vigilant, because we cannot trust Iran to fully implement the agreement. And even if they do implement the agreement, one has to remember that it is limited in time. It is limited to 10 or 15 years.
Netanyahu fought a losing battle against the Iranian nuclear agreement for years. Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states also opposed the deal. They said it would legitimize Iran as a nuclear threshold state. It allowed the lifting of sanctions against Iran and puts billions of dollars of resources in their hands. Foreign Ministry spokesman Emmanuel Nakshon told CBN News that Iran's ambitions go far beyond its nuclear pursuit.
One cannot ignore the fact that Iran is not only engaged in nuclear activities, it is also engaged in subversive activities all over the Middle East. You can see the Iranian fingerprint in any and every activity of Hezbollah in Syria, in Yemen, in other places in the region. There is a huge enterprise of destabilization which is orchestrated by Tehran.
President Obama hailed the implementation day of the deal as a victory. It also included the release of five Americans from Iranian prison and the speedy release of U.S. sailors captured in Iranian waters last week. Nakshon says Israel has had experience with its citizens being captured by terrorists.
On a humanitarian and personal level, of course, we are all very happy. People taken hostages by terrorists should be released. But does it make the terrorists less terrorists? The answer is no.
In the meantime, Nakshon says, Israel will have to live with the deal, even though the potential for danger is huge. Julie Stahl, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Israel is 70 miles wide at its widest point. They're the friendliest, kindest nation. We've talked about it over and over again, how they're impacting the Middle East, how they're impacting the world, and their very lives are being threatened. Their existence is being threatened. Yeah, America's being threatened as well, and our president cut a deal with them, and it's just a crazy days. But I just want to encourage you that despite what others are doing, you can stand with Israel, and you want to stand with Israel. No matter what happens, you want to stand with Israel, the apple of God's eye, because if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. But if you curse Israel, which our president has done, he's basically made an affront to what God's perspective of Israel. He says, that's the apple of my eye. I'm bringing everybody to the valley of Jehoshaphat and judging them in the last days what they did to the land of Israel. That's what he says. So we want to pray for Israel's protection, pray for their peace. And I want to pray right now with you. Let's pray for those missionaries who lost their loved one and those children that in Africa now they're lost their father. Mm-hmm. Father God, we just cry out right now, Father God, for all the missionaries that are in difficult land, Lord God, that you would protect them, God. The children that just lost their father, Mike, Lord, the missionary there in Africa, Lord God, that you would comfort those children, that they wouldn't be left without someone to take care of them, Lord. And I just pray right now, Father God, for his wife, that you would comfort her and encourage all the missionaries around the world. God, we pray for protection of Israel, that you would prevent any attacks of the enemy on them and give them the wisdom that comes from on high, Lord God. Lord, and forgive us, America, for not standing with Israel in this trying time, Father God. And we pray, Lord, end this deal, this 15-year deal, Lord, end it right away, God, that it wouldn't fester, that there wouldn't be nuclear weapons in the Middle East, God. We ask you, Lord, in America, God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, so that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.